If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 16, verse 13 this morning. Romans 16, verse 13 this morning. You know, I'm a slow learner about things, and this is one of those kind of passages. But nevertheless, I have concluded something. You know, when you become a teenager, at least men, for example, when we go through puberty, we start getting a deeper voice, you know, and we start getting hair and facial hair and all that kind of thing. Okay, there's another stage, gentlemen. There's another stage. It's called poverty. Yeah, we start to go through poverty. We lose our voice and we lose our hair. All right, Romans 16, 13. All right. This passage says, do you see it? Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother. What does it say? And mine. Wow. Lord, thank you for who you are and what you're about. We ask you to bless us this morning as we look at your scripture. We know that your word is true. It's powerful. We want to have it open our hearts, and we want to have it find a resting place there, that we might grow in you, that we might become strong for you. We might be good disciples that you'd be well pleased with. Lord, we're living in an underworld world, a chaotic world, most assuredly. But we have been commissioned to take the good news to everyone and help us to be about that. And we thank you, Father, for those mothers that are here today and for their love and their nurture in our lives. And we just praise you for that, and the fathers as well. Be with us now as we look at this scripture. For these things we ask in that mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I don't know how many times you've probably read that scripture. It's kind of at the end of Romans. All the great and powerful theological things that Paul has said up to this time. You probably just, like me, many, many times read over that scripture and just ran on by. But of late, in the last couple of years, I've been kind of going back, and I've noticed that we compact things. We compress things. Paul was on his missionary journeys. One place he stayed 18 months. I think we just think he went there, preached a couple of sermons, went on, you know, like a traveling salesman or something, selling a Fuller brush or something like that. No, that was difficult work. They walked almost every place they went. They had to depend upon the grace of God to give them lodging, to provide for them, all those kind of things. And of course, when they went by ship, that was probably some of the more easy transportation it was, except when you got out there and it was a storm. So we compact all that kind of stuff. And here's another place that we just kind of reach and run right over that. And so when I was doing the Wednesday Bible studies and those kind of things in Acts chapter 20, there's a whole name section there of people, Sopater. Who's Sopater? You know, there's two guys from Thessalonica. You know, so I've been doing that, and so I read this, and it says, "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord." This time, I finally said in my heart and my mind, "Hey, who's Rufus?" Here, Paul has taken time here to name this guy as he starts to name some people there, and he says, "Rufus, who's Rufus?" Well, aren't you glad that the Lord anticipated a guy like me asking that question, who is Rufus? Because over in Mark chapter 15, verse 21, we're told who it is. Over there in Mark chapter 21, it says that when Jesus was going along, as he was carrying his cross, and of course they just about beat him half to death, or three quarters of death, 90% of the death, they impressed Simon of Cyrene to carry his cross. The Romans compelled him to carry that cross. Well, who's Simon of Cyrene? When we go back again, we'll find out that he was the father of Alexander and of Rufus. Oh, hey. The father helps Jesus, not probably willingly, carry the cross. The son, Paul, in his missionary journeys, most likely had the great privilege of leading him to the Lord, getting to meet his brother, Alexander, meet his father, Simon, stayed there in that hole. In Acts chapter 11, verse 20, we meet, it says, the men of Cyprus and Cyrene were coming to help Paul with the ministry of the gospel. The reason I say that and indicate that is because, and I could not find any particular reason other than Cyrene would be the present day country of Libya. That's North Africa. And so there are those who would tell us that perhaps Simon Cyrenius was from North Africa and he might have been black. I don't know really. One thing I'm confident of, when Paul and Barnabas set out to do their missionary journeys, then Paul took Silas with him because Barnabas then said, I'm going to take John Mark again. So instead of one group, we have two. One thing I'm confident of, they never said to anybody who wanted to receive Jesus, I'm sorry. Otis, you'll have to not come, brother. No, no, no. They understood, as we should understand, that the gospel is for everybody. Doesn't make any difference who you are, where you are, the color of your skin, your educational background, how tall you are, how fat you are, how skinny you are, how smart you are. It doesn't make any difference. If you're a living, breathing human being, the gospel is for you. Jesus died on the cross for you that your sins might be forgiven. Rose again the third day for your justification in the sense that you absolutely understand who Jesus is and you can be put into the household and family of God. Isn't that wonderful? Then of course Paul says Rufus, and he says his mother and mine. Isn't that something? Somehow along the line, as Paul is ministering, he meets the whole family. And somehow or another, along in that ministering period, he finds that Rufus's mother, Alexander's mother, Simon's wife, made such an impression on him that he said, I called her my mother too. You know, that's the adoption. We're adopted all the time. It's an amazing thing. When I got here to Calvary and Rodney, where's Rodney at? There's Rodney. Rodney, what was your favorite expression for Dorothy Richards? Mother Calvary. She taught Sunday school for 34 years. Never once said, boy, I think I'm just having too much problems with those children. No, 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 no. When the kids got in Dorothy's class, they wanted to come back. Matter of fact, when we had to graduate them to another class, there was all kinds of protests all the time. I am not going up there. I'm going to stay in Miss Dorothy's class. You know, she adopted me. Yeah, she adopted me. I needed another mother. She adopted me. What a great thing that is. My grandmother had a guy who I met later on in life. His name was Clifford Hicks. My grandmother's maiden name was Key. Excuse me, her married name was Key. Her maiden name was Palmer. So this wasn't any of her biological children. But I met Clifford, and Clifford took me aside while my dad was in Vietnam, and he says, you know, your grandmother raised me. And I thought, well, you know, I kind of can remember somebody kind of coming in and out of the house there that I didn't know anything about. He said, what I want you to know is this. Your dad's in Vietnam. He says, if you ever need any help with anything, you tell me, because he says, your mother is like a sister to me. And I thought, wow, isn't that marvelous? Isn't that wonderful? He felt like he was a part of that family. My wife's mother, Sarah, there's a kid who just had a stray cat or something. I don't know how he got there. He just was there, and he just lived there for 15 years. He went to school with the other kids. Sarah and John fed him and clothed him and all those kind of things. But watch out when you talk to Jimmy. You better say good things about John and Sarah, because he won't tolerate anything else. He was adopted in that family. Over in Galatians, Paul says in chapter 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem that were under the law, that they might receive what? The adoption of sons. I thought about talking about that this morning, that we are a family. The household and family of God. Think on this for a second. We live in a very chaotic society, don't we? And one of the things in our very chaotic society that this society lauds, reveres, loves, holds up is sex. Let's just have sex with everybody and anybody and anywhere, anytime. Just you know, do it like we're a bunch of rabbits or something. But gender, we don't know who a man is. We don't know who a female is anymore. I think I could straighten them out kind of quick. But anyway, they don't ask me for my opinion. But anyway, isn't that amazing? We don't know who's a man. We don't know who's a woman. But at the same time, our society, this evil and adulterous generation in which we live in, mocks and jeers motherhood. Isn't that amazing? They don't know who a mother is. They don't know who a father is. They don't know who a man is. They don't know who a female is. But yet they want to mock and hold up to ridicule motherhood. You see, it's not, and I've preached a couple sermons on this, it's not got anything to do with that. It's got everything to do with God. What God honors, we don't, as a pagan society, want to honor. They don't want to honor those things anymore. You see, God didn't use sex to bring salvation into the world, did he? He used gender, a woman, a little girl from Bethlehem, or in Nazareth, who went to Bethlehem, Mary. God honored her pregnancy. We want to murder those who have babies and somehow don't want them. But God bypasses what our evil culture worships to use what our culture dismisses as unimportant, and that's motherhood. I don't know what you'll get out of this sermon this morning, but let me tell each and every one of you here this morning, being a mother is the highest calling of God. That's it. It's a wonderful thing. We must be sensitive, though. However, because not every woman is able to have children. We had a couple here, Greg and Sandy Powell. Remember, Gene? They couldn't have children. They tried everything under the sun. They finally adopted two children, a little boy and a little girl baby. And, you know, they were no relationship whatsoever to them. But we got to see those children grow up long enough that if you'd have saw them come walking down the hall, you'd have said, those are their natural children. Look just like them. Unbelievable. Listen, children are a blessing from God for women and men. You know, my own wife had a miscarriage, had several actually, but one was a little girl baby. But you know, sometimes women can't have children for whatever reason. Sometimes women can have children, but they're not mothers. They're not mothers. Years and years ago, we had a little girl that came to our church. Her name was Debbie. We had another girl we called Big Debbie, and we called her Little Debbie because the other girl was older. And Little Debbie had lots of problems. And Patty and Randy Michael really took her aside and worked with her all the time. She came to know the Lord, and her life changed in very significant ways. And she did really wonderful for a couple of years. And all of a sudden, she was found out here on Dotary Road with a bullet in her head. Huh. Somebody killed her, murdered her. I suspect, and I have no idea, But listen, it is important who you hang around with. And I'm sure from years past, she probably knew lots of unsavory people. And she might have bumped into one of those and she just shot her in the head and threw her in a ditch. But I had the funeral for her, never having met her mother. But her aunt had talked to me a little bit one time. She said, I want you to know that Debbie had a very, very horrendous life. She said, one time I went to their house in November. She said the door was wide open. There wasn't any heat in the house. I went upstairs and there she was in the cradle, in the bed. She was about 2 years old at that time. She said, I don't know how long she'd been there. She said, but she was just cold as ice and her diaper was full. She said her mother probably had just went out doing whatever and just didn't come back. So she was telling me, you know, take that into consideration when you're dealing with her. I thought, well, yeah, sure. My goodness. But I did get to meet the mother. She came to the funeral, and of course I was thinking to myself, let me try to make some kind of engagement with her. And so I said something about, you know, this is what we're thinking about doing for the funeral today. I said, is there any particular song that you might want to have played? She said, well, I don't know. I said, well, you know, Amazing Grace is a very popular song. And I have danced, and a light bulb came on because she said, is that a religious song? See, her mother was lost as a goose. Lost as a goose. No wonder she had such a terrible upbringing. There are some women who can have babies, but they're not mothers. So we need to realize that as well. You know, May the 4th was my son's birthday. And so my wife and I were sharing. We had kind of a quiet time together. And then she started telling me about Todd's birth, which I had something to do with. And I was in the Air Force at that time. And so I took my wife over to Eglin, Maine, to the Air Force Hospital in Eglin. And of course she was, hurry, hurry, hurry. And we're rushing over there. I rushed her into the emergency room. They took her and they said, come with me. And you sit down over here. And so, you know, about 9 hours later, somebody came back and said, hey, you have a baby boy. Yay! That's what I knew about the birth thing. Yeah. You just have to sit in the womb. Julian, you know, wait for 9 hours, man. They'll come tell you in a little bit, you know. You know, and when we were in Kentucky, in Louisville, they started letting the fathers go into the delivery room. And I thought, oh, my goodness. Because I had two boys, but I'd never been in there at all. But they hadn't been doing that very long. And some father in the delivery room, wouldn't this be terrible? He passed out, struck his head on a table, and killed himself. Yeah, wouldn't that be terrible? I think maybe the 9-hour thing in the waiting room, you know. But listen, my wife went through that whole process with me, giving me blow by blow what was going on. And I was going, you know, he's 49 years old, now you're telling me this stuff, you know. Well, listen, it was an ordeal, but... Oh my, she loves that boy. You know, I seriously doubt that I could probably say anything that would be a great encouragement to mothers. But the Bible does say something about giving honor to honor is due, and we should. First Peter says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Paul says over in Ephesians 5, let every one of you in particular so love his own wife even as himself. You know, unfortunately, everything is being called into question today. But I believe that we need to stand together, men and women, husbands and wives, fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters, and as a family of God, for the principles of God, because they're worth fighting for. These are difficult times, and certainly as Christian men and women, it must seem like there are obstacles that are so great, so overwhelming, so huge. We have come so far in the wrong direction that it might seem impossible to once again gain the footing and the foundation that we should be standing on again. But you know, this time is really not a new time. History is replete with these kind of things. Don't you think it must have been hard for Rufus, for his mother, for his brother? Sure it was. The daily grind must have been back-breaking. Yet she loved her husband and her sons with such devotion. It was like a bright light in darkness to the Apostle Paul. And he said, okay, Mom, what are we doing today? What can I do to help you? You know, on February 25th, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You know, you have to say that with some kind of rhythm, which my tongue doesn't have much rhythm. And you choir people, and Brother Kim knows that. Not only do you have rhythm, but you don't have any. You're tone deaf. But she suggested that because of climate change, women should stop having, she said, kids. Maybe somebody should slip her a note and say, kids are goats and children are human beings. But anyway, she said, our planet is going to face disaster. This, I'm quoting you. If we don't turn this ship around. Well, you know, in the 70s, late 70s, early part of the 80s, people in the pop culture were calling this the terminal generation. We're not going to make it out of this cycle. What was it? Was it in 2012 that the Mayan calendar just kind of stopped? And that whole world was going to end. But somehow, it's just here again. But you know, actually, AOC, I'm just going to say that's her name. AOC is spoken of in the Bible. Do you know that? Get ready now. Write this down. You can write me a letter later and say you shouldn't say that stuff. I'm going to say it anyway. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6 has this. It says, for of the sort of those, you got to go back and read. It talks about lovers of money, unholy, slanderous, just a whole bunch of verbiage before who those are. These people who creep in, Paul says, into houses and lead silly women captive, laden with sin. You say to yourself, well, how's that Bible verse talking about AOC? I put her in that one category of silly women. That poor girl couldn't pour sand out of her shoe. Yet she has a national pulpit, doesn't she? The news clamors to her every word. Listen, the challenges that we face are very, very real. I'm not saying that. But we can face those challenges either fearfully or triumphantly. Over in 2 Timothy, Paul says, God hath not given us the spirit of what? Fear. But of power and of love and a sound mind. Listen, if you're quaking your boots that we only got 10 years left, I don't know why we're worried about doing any redecoration of New York City. 10 years, you know. Save their money, go to the Bahamas or something. I don't know. It's silly to try to put all this green stuff. If the world's going to end in 10 years, you know, why mess with it? But anyway, a spirit of fear. God hasn't given you that. Don't be afraid. Actually, you know, you go back and you do a little word study there. You could say, Paul could have said there, cowardness. Cowardness. Ladies, we don't have to shrink back. You're blessed of God. You're honored of God. And you, as a mother, are chosen, the highest calling in all the world. Don't think you have to be fearful. God is in control. He has blessed you with children. Think of all those folks that can't have them. He's blessed you with children. Don't be fearful. That's the highest, most important thing you can do. Fathers, the same thing. You've got to participate in this. Is raising those kids in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, even as Sophia sang to us about a minute ago. God give us Christian homes. Listen, going to Washington, D.C., being a female lawyer in Congress, I'm telling you, that's not it. That's not it. You ladies that are sitting right here this morning are more important than those people there. Most assuredly. They think they're something, but they're not. It's you. God didn't give you a spirit of cowardliness, but he gave you a spirit of power. You know, the Apostle Paul says, and uses that same word, he says, we preach Christ crucified, what? The power of God. So what is Paul saying? He's saying, listen, God didn't give you a spirit of fear. He gave you power. What kind of power? Resurrection power. This is the kind of power that's available to you. The same power that raised Jesus up from the dead is available to you as mothers to help you raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Isn't that something? And of a sound mind. You know, if we depend upon the wisdom of the world, we'll be very confused. Very confused. Because the wisdom of the world changes almost just like a weather vane on top of a barn. Whichever way the wind's blowing, that's what it's doing. We need to immerse ourselves in the wisdom of the Word. And sometimes we've got to slow down and stop and find out who Rufus is. Because it'll teach us a lot of things. I think that every word in the scripture is like that. We probably will be well to stop and do a word study on every word. You're saying, Brother Mike, I don't have that kind of time. A sound mind. Remember, ladies, you're the heartbeat of the family. The writer of Proverbs says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. You know, sometimes I would ask my dad something that I was thinking that I'd wanted to do. And most of the time, my dad would say this. You've heard it before. What did he say? Ask your mother. If my dad says yes, it was yes, but he would say, ask your mother. But when I would ask my mother, you know what she would say? Oh, man, you guys, you ladies are so down there. She said, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you. Oh, gosh. You know, it's like my wife. I'm going along and I'm griping, just having a great time, just complaining and griping and griping, stuff like that. And she'll say, and what would Jesus have you do? Oh, no! I don't know how many times my mother said that. If you love me, do what I tell you. She set that up, didn't she? There's no exit from that. You're going to have to do what she says. Yes, no, indifferent. You're just there. But perhaps, unlike myself, there were times when I thought my mother was the meanest mother in the world. My mom's, of course, with the Lord now. My mother here in Fort Wayne is with the Lord now. But I thought from time to time, my mother's just about the meanest person I ever seen. While other kids could eat some Kool-Aid or drink some Kool-Aid and eat some kind of candy or something for breakfast, my mom would say, "Sit down, I'm going to make you some eggs or prepare you some cereals or make you a biscuit." And you didn't want one of my mother's biscuits, but she would make it anyway. I didn't know what a biscuit was until I met my wife and her mother's biscuits. But I thought my mother was the most meanest person in the world because she had this insistency that she wanted to know where I was all the time. Joshua, that's just unreasonable. I'd say, "Mom, where are you going?" "Well, I'm just going over here." "Where?" "Across the street. We're going to play some ball." "Okay. If you do something else, come back and tell me." So I would do that a while, come back. Maybe I would do that, come back. Maybe I would do something else. And then she would say, "You know, I looked out the window and I didn't see anybody playing ball out in the yard. Where have you been?" And I said, "Well, you know, we just went over here." "You can't do that all day. Where have you been?" And I had to literally tell her every place I had been, or it was just there. Isn't that terrible? To have to know where you are every minute of the day? And you know, my mother broke all kinds of child labor laws. Did you know that? She insisted that my brother and I cleaned up our room. "You're not going anywhere to get in there and make that bed." Now, she didn't do like they did in the Air Force, come in and flip a coin and the thing, if it bounced, you're okay. But she came in and looked. "You got to get that bed made." She insisted we pick up her own clothes. Put them in the wash basket. She insisted we pick up our shoes and put them in the closet where they belong, Caleb. She insisted on that kind of stuff. What kind of a mother is that? And then, of course, my mother could look at me. And I probably had some kind of thing on my forehead that said, "I'm lying." Because she would say, "Is that the truth?" And I don't know if she'd watch Perry Mason or what, but you know, she wanted the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I wasn't going any place till it got there, you know. But you know, at night, she would come in. She'd tuck us in our beds. She'd sing us a little song. She'd read us some kind of story from a Bible picture book or something like that. She would pray with us. And she would say, before she left the room, "Don't let the bed bugs and chiggers bite." I knew what a chigger was, but I didn't know what a bed bug was. I knew it must not be something good. Listen, maybe your mom's like that. You know what? If she was, you're blessed. Moms, you're special. You really are. We thank God for you. We would ask that you would help us as fathers to do as Paul admonished us to treat our wives with all due respect and honor, as we even love our own selves. Moms, you're not by yourself. There are many, many things that we can stand together because we are an extended family. If you need help, say something. There are many mothers here this morning who've been down that same road as you have been down, or are going down. And they can help you if you need help. I can change a diaper like that. Sadie's saying, not my kid, you're not. I heard about you changing diapers in the nursery at church and sticking that pin in that poor child. You know, he didn't say a thing, Sadie. He really didn't. We had a policy of all the children needed to be, their diapers needed to be changed before their mothers came. And I took that diaper off that little fella and I had pinned him just right through his skin with a pin. He never said a word. This went on. Even when I pulled the pin out, he didn't say nothing. But you know, I went home with fear and trepidation in my heart because I thought, this mother is going to come and get this child. She's going to take him home. She's going to feed him lunch or whatever. She's going to change that diaper. And she's going to look at his side and see a pinhole there. She never did. Aren't you glad that you had a mother that loved you? And not a mother who didn't even know Amazing Grace was a religious song. Father God, thank you for who you are and what you're about in our lives. But Father, even today, some of us, our mothers have died. Some have gone on to be with you, the Lord. And there's kind of an empty place in our hearts today. But Lord, help us to refocus ourselves on the mothers that are around us. Uplift them, help them, encourage them. Be the kind of men of God that we're supposed to be. So that the women of God can do all they're supposed to do. And bless these children this morning. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.